You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's Friday, and you know what that means. Another Friday feature. Today's guest is the incredibly talented Keon Palmer. He's signed to Scooter Braun and has millions of streams and dedicated fans all over the social world. Keon has worked with popular artists such as Zara Larsson, Young Bae, and Saweetie. His music takes creativity to a whole new level, guys, and he's here today to tell us all about it. This is an exclusive Friday feature.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
Hey, Keon, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Right now I'm in New Jersey. We've actually been having some pretty decent weather lately, so I really can't complain. You know what? There's a lot of great spots in New Jersey. We get shit on a lot, but it's fine. It's really okay. There is no central New Jersey. I don't believe in that. But
I like it. I like it. No hate here. I was there.
So you were there. You were there.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
And like Brigantine Beach. I love that place. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. It's like the best. There's like a couple of restaurants there that are like literally on the sand and you can just like sit there and like sip on something, eat some snacks and just like watch the water. It's the best.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to check that out. I've lived here my whole life.
I never heard of that. I found it by accident, honestly.
All right. Well, if you live in New Jersey, guys, I think none of us know about that. So that's dope. Well, I know you were in training to be some kind of golf star. Speaking of like, I don't know, random facts.
We're going way back.
Information. Yeah. You know, I was just researching, browsing the web and I'm reading and just kind of like, wait a minute. This is not a story that I've heard before. I mean, I've heard, you know, my parents wanted me to be like, you know, in business and I tried to wear a suit and go to the office. And then I was like, you know what? Screw this. Or I dropped out of college. Yeah. Okay. But then I'm like, dude, this guy was going to be the next Tiger Woods or some shit. And then he was like, nah, I'm doing music. But then somehow you go and get 2 degrees and you're working for a freaking record label and then go, you know what? Still no, I'm going to do my own thing. And you bounce and then you start your own career as a musician. So I just got to hear kind of like the Cliff Notes version of your life on the come up of how you became kind of an artist and what you're doing now.
Well, you summed it up pretty good. But yeah, my upbringing was always in golf. Like that was the mindset. That was like the biggest value you could have in my family was being good at golf. So it's like I have a brother and a sister and we like grew up, we all had to do it. My sister, not as much at the end, but me and my brother were like gearing up to do that. And we were good. We were really good. Like I was like number one in the state, like top 10 in the country for like years and years and years. Cause I was just doing it. Like it was my job, but I did that and that was my path. And that was like the focus. And a lot of it, obviously, I think a lot of people have the story of like, you know, your dad or your parents want you to do something. So that's what we did. And then I kind of hit a point. I had all of my offers for college, like all my D1s going in. And I was like, my brother he's older than me. So he was already in school. And I was like, this just doesn't seem like, I was like thinking about it in my head. And I was like, even if I was literally Tiger Woods the best in the world, like, I don't even like golf. I was like, I don't even want to go play and be number one. Like that was just not my vibe. So I hit that point where I was like, okay, I'm going to be done with this, which was obviously a big turmoil in the family.
Drama.
Yeah, right. I tend to cause that. And then from there I decided to go, you know, I just went to school and kind of honestly, I feel like I took not a lot of time, but there was a point there where I kind of had no aim or goal. And I think it was the first time in my life I ever like had real friends because I had time to devote to that. I don't know if you guys do this at all anywhere else, but I started school at 6 a.m. Okay, I can't even think about that now.
No, we did not do that here in New Jersey. We did not do that.
I was like, now that I'm thinking about like back about my life and like my current, you know, like music lifestyle, I'm like, how did I do that? Like, I can't even fathom it. But yeah, that was basically the SparkNotes version of my childhood. Then I got into music when I was in college. I think I always knew I wanted to sing sort of, but like, I didn't know I could. Like, my family was always like, you suck, you know?
Oh. So,
yeah, they have, other people have supportive, like, people in that side, you know? I feel like a lot of tone deaf people have parents that say they're good. And
yep.
That wasn't the case for me. And honestly, I thought I couldn't sing, like, literally my whole life. And then I was, like, with somebody at the time, like, it was my senior year of high school, actually. And then I was like, she was like, oh, let's do the talent show. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do this. But I was like, whatever, like, I'll do it. Like, we did it together. And I was like, this is your thing. I'm just doing it. And then we won. So basically, that was the first time I ever like thought I could possibly sing. And then kind of going from there, I went to college. I really didn't think much about it. Did a little stint there of nothing for a second. I was just studying. And then I got a job as like a college representative for Universal Music Group. They flew us out to New York as like a part of like this like seminar thing that we had to go to. And it was like super fun. It was like the first time I had ever been to New York from, you know, because I'm from Arizona and stuff. And I did a little stint there and I met a couple people at a couple record labels. And I just like kept in contact with this one guy from Republic Records. And at the time, I was like sitting on stage doing this presentation. I was like, I'm literally standing in the middle of a record label. Like, I might as well sing something. So like, we're all doing our little presentation, and in it, I like decided to like sing like 30 seconds, which is like super bold, but honestly, it got me the attention I needed. And in that time period, I ended up getting an internship offer at Roc Nation. So I was still in Arizona and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I ended up in New York for this internship. And while I was there for a month, I finally got a hold with this guy and I was like, hey, I'm in New York. Instead of a call, why don't I just come by the office? He was like, okay, sure. So I go in there and I sit there and I play my unreleased first song ever in the office. He's like, oh, this is pretty good. Blah, 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 blah. You have a thing for this. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's like, so I left like being like, oh my gosh, my life is changing, blah, 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 blah. And then he freaking sends me an email or calls me, I feel like 2 days later. He's like, hey, do you want a job here? And I was like, I guess, sure. So what I thought was going to turn into me being an artist ended up me turning into like a, I guess they call it a suit, like a label person. I don't know what the title would be. And I was working marketing there. So that's kind of how I got really my foot in the door in music. I was going to be in New York for 3 months and I ended up there for 2 years. And while I was sitting behind the desk, I ended up releasing my first song because it was a part of my like college thesis and it came out. And I was like, really, like when you work at a label, it's like you have to really keep it hush hush because a lot of like your own music, because a lot of people kind of like, I feel like a lot of people who do work at labels and end up being execs in the long run, like always dabbled with music themselves first. And then they became, you know, something that was probably better suited for them anyways. And yeah, so I was sitting there and then I remember one of the A&R guys called me from the back and he was like, hey, do you have a song out? And I was like, I didn't know if I should say like yes or no. I was like embarrassed a little bit. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, it's on the Viral 50 on Spotify. And I was so new to music at this point that I was like, what is that?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Basically, my whole career started with me actually working at a label and working on every other artist in their marketing. Like I worked on really cool projects. Like I don't regret that point in my life at all. And we, you know, at the same time, I was like sitting there in the shadows while my own music with no marketing, I had no clue. It just was organically getting millions of streams. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So that was the first time I was like, okay, maybe I can do this music thing. And basically by the end of my stint there, I ended up performing on stage in front of my whole entire office. Like I got a standing ovation and then I quit.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my story. That I know if you read any articles, it's too hard to like, it's too long. So that was my intro. Then basically long story short from there, then I moved to LA and I really got into writing more so than anything else. And I think a lot of it was just because that was like my way of like networking. And I know a lot of people start as writers and then they transition to being an artist, but I was like putting music out on the side. So I did my writing stint for a while and ended up getting a publishing deal with Scooter Braun, and then Corona happened. And while I was, you know, sitting at home and I was like, I don't know what to do, I decided to download TikTok. And then from there, somehow I ended up getting over 1 million followers in like 6 months or 7 months on TikTok. And I think that was like the first moment I ever felt like, okay, I'm the artist now. Even though I was putting music out, this was like the first time I really felt like I genuinely had fans and like people who actually like cared about me and like messaged me and text me and like all these things. And it was really just like a different feeling than where I was before. So anyways, that's the long story long.
Okay. Well, that was like the perfect story. Like, I don't know if you have that written down or memorized or just like engraved in your soul, but like it just came out so perfectly and it all just kind of flowed together and there's the story. So it comes right from the source, and that's what we like here. That is a crazy story. You go from training to be a golf star to then working at Republic Records to then performing for your office, and then you quit. And then you're like, bam, I'm on the Spotify viral chart. And catch me on TikTok. I'm out of here. So, I mean, it pretty much doesn't get any crazier. But, you know, Scooter Braun, that's got to be the highlight at the end of the day, the light at the end of the tunnel after doing all of this work, even with Corona. I mean, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Justin Bieber, of course, they all work with him, biggest names in the industry. How was it to get that deal? What was your reaction? Like, did you feel like, damn, I've made it now after that happened?
I think that it's actually really interesting because I feel like I always had manifested Scooter for some reason. I don't know why. For some reason, I always felt drawn to him specifically. And to be honest with you, I feel like I didn't do anything specific that like led me to that moment. It was really natural of how it came about. And I hadn't even met him until actually I think he knows this. I told him that I met him like at a farmer's market when I first moved to LA. I like didn't know what I was doing. And I was like handing out like water bottles. It was like some weird odd job I had at the beginning. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's Scooter Braun. And I remember I like gave him like 20 free bottles that like we were supposed to sell them, but I was like here. And like thinking like that was going to do something. And he just, you know, he just took the water and left and forgot about me for years. But that was the first intro I ever had to him. And he seemed nice. And for some reason, yeah, I feel like that process was just very easy and natural. And it makes a lot of sense, especially considering the fact that I do a lot of pop. I think that's like my main avenue, obviously. And yeah, I don't know. It's just natural and easy. And like, yeah, there was definitely validation with it for sure. I feel like I could literally have 8 Grammys and 10 number ones and you still don't really feel like you made it. I don't know if anybody overly successful ever quite feels that way. I don't know. Somebody's got to tell me, but I feel like I'm still definitely just working towards something, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a really humble way to look at things. But I do think that getting signed to Scooter Braun in other people's eyes would be like a damn, you made it. Like for me, looking the outsider looking in, just because I don't know, like he is just a genius. I mean, I could talk about him for forever. Mm-hmm. I just think he's an awesome guy. Ever somebody mentions him, I'm like, this guy's a king. So for me hearing that, I'm like, damn, Scooter does it again. He finds this underground talent and he just, he knows what's up. So it's awesome to hear that story. And I want to tell you a little bit about how I found your music because, you know, surprisingly, it wasn't from that viral hit or TikTok, but Spotify also pulls through. Like, if I'm going to give shout outs on here, I got to shout out Spotify because I love looking at Discover Weekly and kind of like the weird playlists they make for you and stuff like that. And I find myself spending hours just listening to tons of songs and kind of going like, all right, I'm gonna give this a shot. And then after half of it, I'm either like, this is amazing, or please never put this on a playlist again.
I like literally 10 seconds. I'm like, no.
Exactly. I'm like, oh God, this is not where I thought this was going. Right. So for me, I was just scrolling around and I stumble upon, this must have been this summer or maybe a little bit after, Quarantini, right?
Oh, there you go.
And so I'm listening to this and I'm like, damn, this is a bop. It's just like giving me this whole visual in my mind of like somebody in their room, creaking open a door to see who it is behind it, letting them in, and then being like, oh, this is my quarantine crew, and just like having a small group of friends, just kind of like having a little safe quarantine party. Right. And it kind of reminded me of the whole summer, which is what that was for all of us. And so it right. was so relatable and kind of funny. Like listening back, I'm like, shit, like this is clever. It's catchy, but it's good. And so it was a bop. And so I had it on my playlist. I was really, you know, listening to it. And then I started thinking, how the hell did this come about? Because we were all doing this, but no one that I've heard besides you was writing about this kind of quarantine experience and also making it fun. Like people were right. still writing about getting trashed and partying and stuff, but it was like, let's be honest here, most of us weren't doing that last summer. And here you go releasing something that everybody can relate to. So how did that song come about?
Yeah, I remember like sitting there. First off, this was like the first song I wrote in quarantine, obviously. And I remember like, I think I like had the idea for it like maybe right as we were about to lock down. I was like, this has got to be like something, like somebody else is going to do it. Like I have to get this done. And I think I just like wrote it. And it's also like, I feel like, especially being in like the LA scene, like I feel like I've always been writing with people. Like it's always co-writes. Like I'm running here, I'm running there. And like, I was like trapped in by myself and like, we can't do anything. And that was like the first song in a while I've written by myself. And I was just like sitting there thinking, and I was like, I mean, I feel like everyone's like, you know, sad and depressed and scared. And I was like, I just feel like the way that I wanted to feel was the opposite of that. And I think there's definitely obviously a horrible thing that was happening at the time, still happening. But a lot of things end up having silver linings. And I feel like what ended up happening with a lot of people is they did end up with a little quarantine crew, whether that's roommates or friends, and people are like staying at people's houses. And it was like a weird time for this like intense connection. And that's just kind of like, you know, I felt like I wanted a vibe. Like I didn't want to sit there and be sad and like watch the TV. And like, that was just kind of like where I went for it.
Hell yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I was surprised too. When I heard it, I was like, this is so freaking creative and just different and unique that there was no way I wasn't putting it on a playlist. Even if it kind of even if it sounded awful, it was too creative to just leave. Like right. it was just, and then it sounded great though. So obviously I was like, this is a bop. I'm listening to this forever. But I was surprised. I didn't think of it during the quarantine because obviously I don't write songs. It's not something I do. But my first thought was, you know, why didn't anyone else do this? Or damn, no one else thought of this? Shit. Like people are really out here making the same music they made 2 years ago instead right. of capturing the moment we're actually in.
Right.
So that's kind of how I stumbled across your music. And I love to kind of share those stories and shout out Spotify or friends or however, you know, my discovery came along.
Right. Honestly, I love that because I feel like I don't get to hear I like rarely get to hear like how somebody and like we came into contact in the first place, you know? So it's really interesting. And it's especially interesting just knowing what song it is. And it's, I feel like it's the weirdest thing that like a lot of people, like you just know the person's vibe for some reason with the first song that they ever liked of yours. Cause I have like a vast array, I feel like, of things. Like I have like upbeat fun stuff and I have like some sad stuff. And it's just so funny cause I just know like the type of person you are based off the one that you say is your first one or your favorite one.
What does Quarantini say about the Quarantini finders or lovers?
I feel like the Quarantini finders and lovers, they're fun. Like, and they're optimistic. Like, that's my main takeaway. And I feel like Quarantini lovers have friends and they really try to keep their head up during it, even when it's hard. Like, I just feel like that's like a good vibe.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I'll take it. I'm happy with that. You should do like a psychic reading for all of the favorite songs by right. you. Like, oh, if this is my favorite song, then what does that say about me? And you're right. Like, oh, you suck.
Predicts your future off of it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be a great bit.
Right.
But I also want to talk about the fact that going hand in hand with quarantine, a lot of people were bored at home. They started saying like, all right, what am I going to do to make the time pass? You know, they start dyeing their hair. They start picking up weird hobbies. They're sewing. They're trying to run a marathon, but like in their neighborhood. It got interesting. And so I see that over the summer, it was kind of a delayed thing. But then again, when is it a bad time to dye your hair? You decided to dye your hair blue and it looks awesome. How did that come about?
Well, I was like, I don't know why, like I never dyed my hair my whole life. And I was like, I like always wanted to just once, you know? And honestly, what really happened before though, was that for some reason, like, honestly, like I had a freaking beard since I was like 14, like I'm Middle Eastern, like that should just be popping out. And like, it's just so much work getting it away. And like, I felt like my skin was weird when I was shaving it. So I just kept a beard for like years. And I was just like, looking, I was like, this is just probably not the vibe anymore. So then I like figured out some of my skin stuff and I was like, okay, I'm taking the beard off. So that was the first thing of 2020. Like I looked like a different person from day one of 2020. And then I was like, oh, this is like so fun. I don't know. It was just like so fun, like just feeling like different. And then I was like, okay, well, I mean, I might as well dye my hair. Like if I don't want to post anything or like anybody to see me and it looks bad, like whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm bleaching it. So I was blonde for like maybe like a month or two. Then I was like, I don't think it was my vibe. So then I was like, you know what? Before I was actually going to dye my hair back or like cut it off. And then I was like, well, before I do that, I should dye it blue just for fun, you know? Then I dyed my hair blue and I was like, I fuck with this. I was like, I got to keep this look. And then honestly, my hair's just been blue. And I it's like the weirdest part is like, I can't even imagine like not having it anymore. Like it's just so my vibe.
It's so interesting because it really is your vibe. And I thought that it was like that for years because by the time I guess I found the song, it must have been after. And then I scrolled down and I was like, wait, this was not always, you know, his hair. And it's crazy because people are like, well, of course it's not someone's hair if it's a different color. But people, you know, have had pink hair, red hair, all sorts of things for years. And that's not their natural color. But once you find it, I feel like you find it and it clearly is working. So that's awesome. And it really does fit the whole vibe. So
yeah, people are always like, what are you dyeing your hair next? I'm like, I'm keeping it blue. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's like I found what I liked. I'm keeping it. This isn't a game. Like this isn't like what's next. What, you know, this isn't a diet. Like this is life, man.
This is long term.
So exactly. Once I see like a cool hair color, I'm like, I got to know the story behind that because, you know, I kind of wish that I was like that, just like confident to be like, yo, I'm going to dye it pink one day. But like, I know I would be so like, oh my God, everyone's looking at me. People think I look weird. Like, but that's not how it is. Like when I see someone with a cool hair color, I'm like, dude, I want to know the story. Like how long have you had it that color? Yeah. Like it looks cool. Like,
but yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, what's weird for me, which might be like the opposite experience for other people, but like people are nicer to me when my hair is blue. Like, I think that I just like, especially like as a man, like I feel like I look way more approachable and friendly than when my hair was like black. I don't know why, but like people like really are so much nicer to me with blue hair. It's like weird. You'd think it'd be the opposite. Like you'd think they'd be looking at you and be like, you look weird.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we've also found the solution to world peace and we all just need to dye our hair pink, blue, whatever you guys want. Shit, I need to do this now. Now you got me thinking. Maybe blonde isn't for me. Maybe I need like pink or something.
Yeah,
and then I won't get
such an icebreaker.
Dirty looks. But yeah, I'm glad we got that story out because it's pretty important, especially
honestly,
with a creative background.
I had to get that off my chest.
All right, good. So this is a good session here. And now speaking of kind of like working with other people and just, you know, collaborating in any sense, I want to know who's on your list, you know, when it comes to dream collaborations. Like, who do you think, okay, I want that person to have a feature on my song, or I want to have a feature on their song?
Well, first off, I love collaborating. Like, I feel like some artists just, that's not their thing. But for me, it's like, I could do a whole album of collaborations. Like, I love it. I think it's so cool. I definitely have, like, two definite features I need in my career. I don't care when, but some point. I need Celine Dion and I need 50 Cent. I would love to have him on the same song. I think that'd be iconic.
And like, oh my God.
That's what it is. That's what I grew up on. Like literally at my parents' house, like I have like vinyls on the wall of like Celine Dion and 50 Cent. Because I would get my dad's car and we would listen to 50 Cent. I'm like 6 years old. And I get my mom's car and we'd listen to Celine Dion. And they would never listen to the radio. They just had CDs.
Oh my God. I love that.
Sometimes. Yeah. So I need that. I need that. Everyone else, like, that's fine. We can do it. But like for me, if I don't have that, I can't do this anymore.
Oh my God. Well, that's gotta be something. Let's get that together, I guess.
Right? Celine, if you're hearing this, please call me.
Please sing My Heart Will Go On, right? And then pass the mic to 50 Cent.
If you could. Come on.
That would be great. Come on. That's honestly probably one of the most unique collaboration requests that I've heard so far. This is definitely up there. I don't know. I think this could definitely be the most unique though, because I would have never thought of a 50 Cent Celine Dion Keon Palmer collaboration. Nevertheless, just the two of them being in the same room, right? So we'll see. I would love to see it. I'm, you know, big fan. Who the hell doesn't love 50 Cent or Celine Dion? Come
exactly.
On now,
listen, the math just adds up to me.
2 + 2 = 4. Let's just leave it there.
That's on period. Whatever.
So for sure. I'm hoping that comes out soon. So if you could get working on that, maybe Scooter has some connections because I'd love to see that. Right, now that's going to be all I think about. Yeah, right. Get to work, Scooter. You're not busy enough. It's not like you're managing everybody.
If you're hearing this, please put Ari and Bieber on the back burner. This is important. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. So there's that. And then what's next for you? Because I know you've been releasing a lot of singles. Is there an upcoming EP? Is there an album that people can look forward to? Are you just kind of vibing right now? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I think that for some reason, notably, I'm not into EPs for some reason. Like, I'm way more of an album person. I don't know why. So I'd imagine it will, not that I actually have a specific plan, but I imagine it'll be an album, not an EP. But yeah, I mean, I'm actively working on it now. I think that this one's taking me a lot more time than the previous projects have. I felt like I had to connect with myself way more emotionally, like I think most people did over the last year, and not in a negative way, honestly, but just more like, okay, this is what this is. I need to write about this person in my life. I need to write about how I feel about this. And for me, like, I think that I felt more comfortable doing that by myself. So I feel like I have a lot of like the meat of this project pretty much done. And now I'm kind of ready to, like, you know, put a couple more fun things in there, experiment a little bit more. But I think this project's just taking me a little longer because I really want it to be good.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone needs to respect that. I mean, art takes time and good quality stuff takes time. So, you know, while I feel like the music industry is in a drought currently, I really do think that Bieber and Demi, again, shout out to Scooter, saved the drought. Right. And now we have something to carry us through while everyone else is perfecting whatever it is they're working on. Right. So I'm just grateful at this point because a few weeks ago I was like, damn, I need new music. And if you're not releasing new music, then you're breaking my heart. But then Bieber released the album, Demi released an album, and now I'm like, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling a lot better. This cured all of my symptoms, and I can push through.
Clear.
Exactly. They
cured everything. I got some money wired to my bank account. I woke up in a new house. I don't even have to pay rent. That's how good it is.
Damn, that would really be a dream. Yeah. Demi, if you want to just like Venmo me like whatever you have, that'd be great.
Just give the whole everything. that's justice.
It really is justice by Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Saving the world one step at a time, man. Right. But I guess as a last question, people are probably listening to your music going, all right, this has got so many different genres going through it. He has like this one main vibe, but then also he can surprise us and put out things that are a little bit different. Yeah. So who is it right now that you're listening to that's either been inspiring you or just someone that you're like, I cannot put down, you know, this album, right, or I cannot stop listening to this artist?
Right. okay, there's definitely artists that I've been listening to. Like, obviously, I listened to Justin. I listened to Demi. Like, I did that whole thing. But I think this project is, like, the first time where, like, me and the producers, like, we've been going into it. And I was like, I don't want to think about anybody. I don't want to reference anybody. Like, I'm trying to be, like, the most, like, authentic to myself I can be, which is why it's taking so long. I want to just do, you know, me, whatever that is. Like, I don't know. It might be weird. It might be normal. Who knows? I don't know. I could have a ballad and a freaking track record on the same album. Who knows? But yeah, it's definitely been an interesting process.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think that is going to surprise people and also just keep them on their toes, because who the hell wants to listen to the same song 30 different times? Like, I mean, You know, you ever listen to one of those albums where it's like every song is basically the same?
I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm ready for like some crazy shit to come out. And so I think that's what's attracting a lot of people to your music is like, okay, I can get different vibes, but it's still all Keon Palmer. It's not like him trying to be somebody else. And I think people are going to look forward to that. Whether the project comes out this year or next year, I mean, like I said, it takes work and it's respectable to take your time and just kind of put out something that you're proud of at this point.
Yeah, you'll definitely be hearing something this year. Who knows if it's the whole thing, but definitely something. I'm going to be very excited about it when it comes out, though.
Okay. So I think we all just need to keep our eyes out, follow you on socials, obviously hit that follow button on Spotify. Sorry, Apple Music, but Spotify is my heart, so I will not mention you ever. And thank you so much for coming on. That's the Tea with Alessandra G. And of course, spilling some tea, but also keeping it real and kind of just sharing a little bit more about yourself, get the new fans some more information, allow people to get to know you and kind of just push forward with this crazy pandemic.
Me. Everyone stay safe, party on, enjoy yourself, do what you want, get that bag, and then leave.
Yeah, for sure. Get the bag, leave, get a standing ovation, sip on your quarantini, and peace the hell out.
Yeah, and enjoy it. I don't know. But that's all.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another segment of That's the Tea with Alessandra G. If you love reality TV, The Bachelor, music, and the weird phrases I say on this show, you have to check out my merchandise with Tee Public, and you might just catch a sale, but you didn't hear it from me. Shout out to Keon Palmer for chatting with me today. I'm very excited to hear what new music he has on the way for us all. Be sure to check out the music that he has released in the past on streaming platforms and follow him on socials for everything you need to know and more. That's it for today, guys. Stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands. Sipping on corn.